about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-469-7272. That's 800-469-7272. 800-469-7272. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Find our podcasts on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and NewsRadio923.com.
Such sad news. We heard that Tony Lewis, the lead singer of The Outfield, passed away the other day at the age of 62. Janice Gilley is the Escambia County Administrator. She's the one who requested the song. Nice double meaning on the call for The Outfield, both the loss of the lead singer and the World Series. And by the way, I have to share this. Apparently, you are a Dodgers fan. Is that what I...
Don Sutton from Tate High School played with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And so, you know, Tommy Lasorda... You know, it's nostalgic.
It's not enough for me. And by the way, I really do think that I have to reevaluate our entire relationship now. So that's food for thought. I have to go home and mull this over. All right. Hey, I've got a couple of kind of update, you know, what's going on questions. First one is, Escambia is still under a burn ban. Is that right?
Yes, it is. So what we're going to do is a couple of reasons. One of them is, you know, it was really, really dry right after the storm. We are hoping to have some precipitation. We're getting, you know, morning fog, a little bit more humidity in the area. So we're hoping by tomorrow, if we can get some moisture, we're hoping to cease it for the week, starting this weekend. You know, part of our big concern is that there are tarps on a lot of roofs, and the last thing you want is a fender to get from, you know, a well-intentioned getting rid of debris, you know, that somebody might have ends up on someone's roof. And, you know, so that's a secondary issue.
Okay. So,
we're going to keep looking at the moisture. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you are willing to lift it when the circumstances justify, but that's the concern going on. Okay.
Yeah. The other thing is I've talked to all of our debris haulers, and we have hauled, as you know, almost 2.3 million cubic yards.
Unbelievable.
Of vegetation. Yeah. Yeah, we're way ahead of our neighbors. I'm just saying, we're way ahead of our neighbors to the east and to the west in terms of volume that we've been able to move.
Yeah, I went by the Superfund site, the Midtown Commerce Park site. Oh, my God. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. It really is. Hey, one of the other kind of, you know, where are we at questions I had for you is the Soundside Ferry Dock on Pensacola Beach. You know, as we're talking about ferry options for Gulf Breeze, the question of the availability of that dock, my understanding is it was pretty badly damaged, but you tell me, what's the prognosis for that facility?
Yeah, it's really badly damaged. And the other thing is this, we have to build it to a bigger size than it was. It has to be built substantially larger, you know, because you have to be able to accommodate two different directions of traffic. So we're looking at how that needs to be handled. And, you know, so there are a couple of design issues. We also have the submerged lands lease issue with the state that we have to resolve. So unfortunately, that's not a quick repair. But we are looking to try and make sure that we do it in a way that meets all of the standards that we need to meet for a ferry.
Okay, so I mean, like 2 months, 6 months, any idea?
Oh, I don't have a number right now.
Okay.
I don't have a number because we are still working on the project. the, you know, all the analysis and the project worksheets. We'll start working on those starting next week and for the, you know, specific project.
And same thing on cost, because I know the original cost of that was fairly high as well. That was kind of the county's contribution to the ferry project. Do we have, again, any idea of cost yet?
I do not have that yet.
Okay. Mm-mm. Okay, I understand. I mean, I know it takes time to figure out the designs and, you know, get all that stuff set. One of the other things I wanted to ask you about is, you know, it's a story I had meant to get to you with you last week, and I just ran out of time, or I forgot, or something. But there was a story about an inmate who was approved for the road prison, for the road camp, to be on a work crew, and it turns out he had been, you know, his crimes for which he's serving have to do with children and pictures, and it's bad. And so I'd wanted to ask you, what's been done to sort of revise, reinvigorate the qualifications to be on those road crews? Because we'd always heard that they were no threat, low-risk offenders, and I'm sure that mm-hmm. is mostly the case, but what's being done to sort of remedy that?
So anyone that has any type of potential charges or any charges related to children, whether it be physical or video or, you know, I'm saying photographic mm-hmm. or anything like that, will not be allowed on our inmate work programs out in the public. You know, there are inmate programs interior, you know, inside our facilities and stuff like that, but they will not be allowed out on the road again.
How was that allowed in the first place? I would have assumed that was a ban originally. It seems like a weird thing to have to add.
Yeah. So physically, absolutely. It's my understanding that this particular person, the charges they were in for were voyeurism with adults, which is awful. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But however they were reviewing the charges, those charges were not the same as child. Yeah. So it, you know, and they did go back and review every other inmate that was out there, and it was the only inmate that had anything closely related. So they've just said, forget it. You know, you can't even have the anything related to a child.
Okay. So. All right. Well, like I said, I mean, you know, I think we're all a little bit surprised by that, but, you know, look, sometimes things get through. I understand that as well. You had mentioned it a moment ago, but I wanted to make sure we get clarity on it because, you know, this is something that you're always very good at updating us. Massive amounts of debris removal. You said over 2 million cubic yards. Are we still looking at the 90 days? I mean, are we ahead in terms of getting the whole project done, or has there just been so much more than we expected? What are you thinking mm-hmm. at this point?
Okay, so what I would say, so tomorrow we're probably going to make a public announcement of the fact that we've pretty much completed our first pass. And first pass means that you know, when you look at our cumulative maps every day, they have pretty much gone down almost every road or every community that was allowable. So we are going to make a comment about our first pass tomorrow. You know, my goal has always been, since this storm started, to have this community back as much as we can to a place of normalcy by Christmas. So that's why we set the 90 days. You know, those of us that were here during Ivan, you know, debris went on for 6, 7, 8 months, and that's just not acceptable. And so our vendors, our subcontractors that we're working with have really been working extremely hard. Those of you that live on the beach know that the beach is pretty much done. We have like 27 refrigerators and some CD&D to pick up. But so we will start working more heavily on the CD&D in the next couple of weeks. And then we're probably expecting final pass to be that first, second week of December, but we will absolutely give you more than enough notice before we do that. One of the things that we find is when you have a weekend with a lot of really good weather, that's when folks, you know, have time to go and,
sure.
and keep cleaning up, you know, and putting stuff out front. But we're not going to, that can't go on forever, as nice as it is to have, you know, free pickup of large debris that you might want to get rid of versus what may really be related to the storm. We are going to stick to that 90 days. And I think FEMA appreciates that for reimbursement.
Yeah.
I know that our community will appreciate it just because it'll just, like I said, get us back to normalcy, hopefully before Christmas.
One of the things I just wanted to give you a quick chance to update us on is obviously all of the CARES spending and the various kinds of CARES money that people might be eligible for. Any element of that you want to update people on?
Yeah. So the Family CARES Act, which was the $3,000 per family that made less than $45,000 or less, we are in the evaluation process. I think that they said all 9,300 applications have been reviewed a first and a second time. They've been put into the proper buckets, which is these are approved, these have been denied, and these need further, or clarification or better documentation.
Right.
They're close, right? They just need that one thing. So we have about 3,000 checks that are being submitted, packages that are being submitted to the clerk's office for a check run next week. So about 3,000 of those applicants should start seeing those checks in the next 2 weeks. And then after that, there's about another 2,500, I believe, that need to have just that one thing done. Maybe it's a signature on the W-9, or maybe it's, the Social Security card or something didn't come through, and we need to get that, validated. So the good news is checks are going to the clerk, packets are going to the clerk for the check to sign. For the clerk to issue the checks. We do already have two check registers that have been posted online to the public. One of them is the business checks that have been issued, and the second one is the rent and mortgage checks. We made it very clear to anyone who applied for all of these grants that they are public record, they are public dollars. And so the check registers will be posted publicly.
Very good. And, by the way, I don't know if it was your idea or somebody else's idea, but whoever came up with the notion of using the Transocean Halliburton money as bridge loan to pay for debris collection up front until FEMA reimburses, brilliant. I mean, that was a very smart move, whoever came up with that idea. So, Janice, a lot of times we finish with a question that you have for me. So do you have a question for me this time?
Yeah. Do you find it mind-blowing that a probe went all the way to a couple hundred million miles to an asteroid and to pick up samples? And do you think it got samples, and will it make it back?
It'll make it back. They got the samples. I just think it's bizarre the projects we come up with sometime. And I was saying this the other day several times that I thought this asteroid is supposedly going to come back around and be a probably not, but maybe threat to the world, in a couple of years or whatever. And I'm like, well, push it. I mean, you're there, do some work. But yeah, it's amazing some of the stuff that we do in space, quite frankly. And look, I find a lot of things amazing because they're outside of my knowledge base. Space is one of them. I mean, there's all kinds of other things like that. But yeah, I do. I definitely think it'll come back. And then, some of that dust will go missing and somebody will show it up for auction 20 years from now. I mean, you know how these things work. So
what do you do if it's an element we don't know what to do with? That's what I think's funny.
Well, you name it Gilliam. Obviously, that's what you do. You name it for Janice Gilley, because she's the one who brought up the idea. Janice Gilley is our Escambia County Administrator. Janice, as always, thanks for the time and thanks for the work. I appreciate it.
Thank you.